Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepard.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hello and greetings, everybody. It is a Thursday, and we are live and local in your own backyard for the next 4 hours. Can't wait to get going with this show. We got a lot to cover. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. As you know, Chris is gone for the fortnight.
On the book tour. I think he's heading to another country shortly.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know how many countries he was going
to. Yeah,
we've got Rick Church on the other side of the glass spinning the ones and twos with the bumper music, among other things. He does other things. And our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. This is also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Speaking of Stony Brook, Jeff Nixon was in studio yesterday and immediately upon leaving got crushed with a lightning bolt about 100 feet away. He did survive. He's okay. But I only mention it because there's another wave hitting us right now a little early. So hopefully we can stay on the air throughout the whole thing. That would be fantastic. We've got Big Ten Media Days and the British Open to discuss. Pete Shepard, how are you today?
I'm better than Mr. McIlroy.
What? Did you think the pressure got to him being at home?
First hole, kids, in case you missed it this morning. I don't know. What was it? Around
1 a.m.?
5:30?
Oh, I didn't know how early it was.
No, it might have been around 2. I wasn't up. I got up at 6. First shot of the day from Rory hit a spectator.
Broke her cell phone.
He ended up with a quadruple bogey 8. I am not making it up.
Homecoming, Northern Ireland.
Yep.
He first played this course when he was 10 years old. He had the course record as a 16-year-old.
With a 61?
With a 61. Been dying for a British Open to be on his home course all this time. And finally gets his chance and cranks out a snowman on the first hole.
Ended up 8
And
over.
Then triple bogeyed the 18th. So he's 8 over for the day. He might not gonna make the cut.
Tiger Woods is going to maybe pass him. Tiger 7 over through 14.
Speaking of not making the
cut.
He
has been god-awful on the hole.
He looks miserable again.
Well, I mean, it's just at times it looks like he's swinging the ball okay, and the announcers are confirming that, but he's just all over the place.
There was a lot of concern early on, and I think it's gone by the wayside, that maybe he tweaked himself and injured himself on his first swing on the driver. I think he just winced because he wasn't happy with the shot. He seems to be swinging freely.
I agree. And, of course, then David Duval, by the way, who 20 over today.
Now, I'm in touch with that. That I can relate to.
Yeah,
20 over
that'd
par?
That'd be good. 92? I'm happy with that.
I'm very happy with a 20 over par. That would be outstanding.
Demetrius Papadatos is 12 over.
So John Rahm is just birdie 13 to take a one-stroke lead.
Whoa,
he's
on fire.
5 under. Shane Lowry and J.B. Holmes at 4 under. Lowry's in the clubhouse. Okay.
Koepka's tied for 4th in the clubhouse at 3 under. He was right there at the top of the leader, but it's been good. Nobody's been past 5 under today.
Yeah, that's a high or a low watermark.
Webb Simpson was up there, too. He was in the lead for quite some time, and Koepka continues to be Koepka. And if you're at even par or better today, you're in great shape.
Fantastic shape.
Yeah.
One or two over. Fantastic shape.
Well, these are the kind of second cuts, third cuts, fescue, where you can break your arm or your wrist, you know?
Or your back.
Or you're going to pull something out when the TV. But
the stuff that Rory was in this morning was up to his waist, and it was wet. First of all, I don't even know how they found the ball. I don't know how you get a club through there. I really don't.
I don't either. And they were talking that because Tiger was in quite a bit of trouble today. He got believe it or not, he's 7 over. It could be a lot worse. It could be worse.
He had a
couple of bogey savers that he had, honestly. He went through one stretch of bogey, double bogey, bogey. But they were talking about, the guys online were talking about how, he's like, well, how do you practice something like this? He's like, no, you go to practice run, you take out 4 balls or a bunch of balls, and you stick it in there and you hit it out. Yeah. That's what they do. You know, that's the only way to practice. You can't practice that stuff on the range or you know, and out of the bunkers.
No.
You got actually on your practice round. I don't know how much leeway or time they give it, but that's what guys do, I guess. They go out there as they just throw a bunch of balls in the fescue and try to hit it out.
There's another way.
Don't hit it in the fescue?
Hey, Shepard, look at that alligator behind you. And then just kick my ball out back onto the fair. That's what.
Speaking of that, I found out there's a bylaw at my place at being in the National. It's probably like this all at a lot of clubs. But there's a local rule where you are allowed to move your ball anywhere you like if there's an alligator present. As long as you feel safe. So to a quote, safe distance.
This sounds an awful like NCAA transfer rules. I don't feel mentally well right now. Let me just move my ball about 100 feet.
I mean, the alligator has to be in plain sight, but you are allowed to move your ball to where you feel is a safe distance.
Really?
Which usually is,
100 feet?
No, I'd say 10.
Do you know alligators are fast when they want to be?
They can be fast.
They're deceivingly fast.
They're faster in the water. They're not so fast on land.
No, on land, if they want to, they can. Don't let them. You got to run past them because takes them more time to turn around.
They get tired easy too. We got some big ones at my place, and they don't ever chase anybody. But occasionally, they will bounce down the fairway. And they look pretty good for about 15, 20 yards, and they get to take a rest.
You see any of that's absolutely right. They're short. They're sprinters.
Yeah.
They're sprinters. They're not long-distance runners. Do you have any iguana on your course? Because this is not a natural infestation. You're allowed to kill them, apparently, in the state of Florida.
I don't want to kill any iguana.
I wouldn't either, but no, they're so bad.
They eat all the bugs. We get the, of course, everybody has the, the geckos. We get tons of those.
Well, those are fine.
Yeah, and some of them are a lot bigger than others. But
these iguanas are like 3 feet long.
The iguanas I've seen on other courses.
Yes, I have.
But not on ours, I believe it. Everything else is there.
I've seen them on a course, and literally, they're so bad for the area, and they're beautiful animals.
Why are they bad? Don't they eat the bug? Don't they eat the bug?
No, they're not indigenous.
They're killing everything.
Yeah, they're upsetting the ecosystem because they're not indigenous to this area.
Knucklehead dropped them off, and they fall out of the cage.
Probably over the years, a lot of knuckleheads dropped them off, and the conditions are ripe for them to thrive here, but they don't belong here.
The only time you see a lot of in Aruba, there's a lot of them. I mean, you see them all the time.
Yeah.
They're beautiful, blue and green. Yeah. But then you have idiot tourists who want to feed them a French fry or a tater tot or a piece of cereal, and then can't understand when those things, and even the smaller ones, have sharp teeth and will bite your finger pretty good.
Yeah.
I never get it, why people want to,
I don't either.
And then you got the real idiots that want to feed alligators, which is illegal and incredibly stupid.
I would highly recommend against feeding an alligator.
Any animal, and you live on a golf course, you don't feed anything. It upsets birds, alligators, or anything that's living. You don't feed it outside your lanai. You're just asking for trouble. You upset the ecosystem. You don't want animals coming at your door looking at like it's a cat or a dog. Yeah. It's not a big difference.
But anyway. I saw a story on the news recently. It is legal to kill the iguanas are so bad, you're allowed to kill them. And I couldn't bring myself to do it. They're beautiful animals, but they're very bad for the ecosystem.
I haven't seen those yet.
But
Not in our place.
Your alligators are eating them. That's what's going on.
Another invasive species, which of course are like the pythons that are all over the Everglades, the state actually pays people to kill them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
the pythons out of control. Some of them.
But you can't kill them at a fast enough rate. They're just multiplying all over the place. So we'll talk about the British Open and everything that's going on. We'll keep an eye on that. They're about five hours ahead of us. I don't know.
It's 5 hours
evening over there.
5 hours ahead of us.
So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll talk some Big Ten as well. We'll hear from some of the coaches because they're having their media days on the Big Ten Network.
So far,
phones just blew up. Did I just say something incorrectly?
Then
they disappeared.
that's lightning. We are under attack again by the elements.
Yeah, sometimes when the power resets, the lines all kind of flash for a second.
Weird. It's nasty.
It's like we're just getting going here. By the way, if you would like to call the show, it's 239-337 ESPN.
There's a massive storm going on in Bonita Springs, I guess, right now. Getting some texts about that. It's dark out here outside our studios here. Lightning, but anyway, your buddy just spoke from Indiana, Tom Allen.
Tom Allen, Coach of the Year, Indiana Hoosiers.
Looks like a congressman.
I said before we got on the airwaves that my man Tom Allen at Indiana looks like, with his little wired glasses and his combed over hair, He looks like he could be working at the Johnson Space Center in 1969 on the Apollo mission. He just looks like that kind of a guy. He's throwback.
Mark D'Antonio spoke today for Michigan State already. We'll probably have some highlights from him. No Harbaugh yet. Ryan Day, I believe, is later today. I know all you Ohio State fans are out there. I promise that you'll hear from him more than likely at some point today. When he's not speaking until later on.
Don't promise.
Well, we should be able
our
to.
Signal
if our
right
signal
now,
comes back
is
on,
gone.
We can't run live like we
rain.
Did.
Yeah, right in the middle of PJ Fleck of Minnesota. Thanks.
Yeah, you're yeah. Minnesota guy. How many people can name
Lovie
PJ
Smith
Fleck as the head coach of Minnesota, Rick?
They had some good wins last
That's
year.
That's not a household name.
They beat Wisconsin last year. They beat. They had a couple. They won the bowl game last year too.
Right, and his pedigree. He was one of those guys who was wildly successful at a mid-major, which was I think Northern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
You know, won like 12, 13 games a year for years
and
years.
The MAC conference,
right.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get into some of that as the show goes on. We might. Your boy Scott Frost, who used to obviously coach at Central Florida, he was the first one up, I think. And I know
D'Antonio was, I believe.
No, D'Antonio was after. Frost was first. Yeah. Then D'Antonio.
And Lovie Smith, I think, was first, actually.
Oh, how about Lovie with the beard? Lovie is bald.
Looks like Santa.
And then he's got this white beard that would rival Rick Church.
Yeah.
Did you see Lovie Smith's beard?
I did not.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting look. So we'll get into all that. But, you know, I was about to say your boy Scott Frost. I say your boy because as soon as he left Central Florida, you had big predictions for him at Nebraska that have not come to fruition yet. However, this is the year that people are saying that Nebraska can win the West in the Big Ten. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, like, they can.
Just a year
I
early.
Mean, Wisconsin and Purdue. I know Purdue's a good team with Brom. But Iowa, you can't ever count the Hawkeyes out. Kirk Ferentz does a great job over there. But, you know, Illinois sucks. Minnesota is okay.
Rick, are you going to take that?
Northwestern or Pat Fitzgerald?
That's a compliment.
Well, I mean, Northwestern or Pat Fitzgerald, nobody ever wants to play them.
And nobody ever wants to talk about them either.
No, so I think there's good reason for people who are Nebraska Cornhusker fans to be optimistic this year.
Jim Delaney did speak. He'll be the outgoing commissioner after some 30 years. We're not going to run that for you.
No, it's too boring.
It's boring commissioner speak.
He said couple little things.
A couple interesting things he said. He was asked about his tenure, and I think when he took over, 16 Big Ten games were on national TV.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Now 80 a year are on TV.
I think what he said, and somebody asked him a good question, and it wasn't about if any of his former assistants that he knew that Nick – it wasn't any of that silliness. You would think somebody in the Big Ten would just automatically, even though Jim's the commissioner, just say, hey, what do you think about what in the SEC that Nick Saban's assistants are 0-16 against him? I thought for sure
somebody was going to do that, huh?
But they didn't. But he did say, he was asked about, which I thought was a good question, his biggest regret, and said three things. One, loss of four-year scholarships.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, your scholarship is 1 year at a time.
Yeah. Also, the $15 laundry.
They used to get a stipend.
I
never knew that.
Oh, I knew that. I thought they still got that.
No.
So that's even worse. I mean, which a lot of kids would use that, to be honest with you, to get pizza or something like that. They would use it. You didn't have to use it for laundry. But that was.
Laundry.
I mean, but can you imagine not giving a kid $15 to do laundry?
Yeah.
I can. And then he said, you know, freshman eligibility. Well, I mean, Jim, that's a little freshman eligibility, and. What are you going to, in this day and age, especially for football and basketball, what are you going to have kids not play at 18 years old, not eligible for, especially in basketball where they leave after they're 18?
I was going to say, I think you can make the argument for it for football. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, it makes a lot of sense.
Basketball is impossible because you're going pro.
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense. And when you're just a normal student not playing a sport, you know, there's an adjustment period. You got to get your time management down correct with your studies and your drinking and whatever else you want to do.
Physically, but physically, most kids aren't playing freshman year in football anyway. They're just too small.
Yeah, but now what happens is they're learning the system. A lot of them are though dressing for games and at least the home games, and they got to be there. I mean, I get it, but in this day and age, that's never going to happen. When you think about it, back in the day. You know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago.
Right.
Where freshmen were not allowed to play.
Lou Alcindor did not play his freshman
year.
I don't think Bill Walton did either, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. But the difference was they were going to give you a full solid 3 years after that. Not anymore. It's not how it goes.
So, Sean, is that Sean from Boone?
Yeah.
Streaming from Boone, North Carolina. I moved here back in November just in time for winter. And I must say I missed the show that you guys put on because over here there's no ESPN talk shows or any of the sort. Just wanted to let you know that I'm still listening, even though I'm 900 miles away.
All right. Thank you, Sean, from Boone. You know what's in Boone, North Carolina?
That's Boone, North Carolina.
That's App State.
That's right. That's Appalachian
App State.
State.
Yeah. Yeah, App State country.
Yeah.
Broadcast a game or two at their football
stadium.
One
of Chris's family members, the press box is named after him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you're just a second ago.
Beautiful. You've talked about how beautiful it is up there.
It is. Fall foliage, all that stuff. I don't care for the winter much, but So I mentioned the size of football players. I did smile yesterday. So we're watching Jimbo Fisher at A&M during the SEC media days. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
Two days ago. Yeah.
And he's ruling the roost. Yeah. He's comfortable. He's polished. He's the $75 million man. He's going to turn A&M around. While all this is going on, he's still recruiting because the next day we find out that the Aggies got the number one quarterback recruit from the 2020 season and the number 19 player overall to play quarterback at A&M. And it's Haynes King. I think he's
ranked 19th out of the ESPN.
He's a dual threat quarterback.
Number one on quarterback on ESPN's top 300 and 19th. Yeah.
Yeah, I just mentioned that. That's all right. He's 6'3".
Mondelet.
Buck 85.
Is that right?
185. Isn't that what Chris weighs? Just a tiny little
He may after
thing.
He comes back. No, but that's, you know, let's give him some change. He's got a year to put some weight on.
A lot, yeah.
If it was 200, would that make it better for you, 15
yeah,
pounds?
Yeah, that sounds a little more solid. You a good solid 200 as an 18-year-old.
Put on 15 pounds by the time he hits to heads of the Aggies.
Yeah, I got to remember, he's got another year of high school.
Yeah, Jimbo
right.
kind of left that fact out. It probably wasn't the I's weren't dotted and the T's weren't crossed, but he left that out of his press conference the other day.
Tennessee, Auburn, and Duke were the other schools under consideration. That's an odd collective bunch of schools.
Well, Tennessee Auburn, I can understand. Duke is weird.
Well, maybe he's a smart kid, wants to get that education.
Of course, Jim Delaney was upset because the College Football Playoff Selection Committee must remember its mission to value conference championships and schedule strength to determine the four participating teams. He's still mad that they finished sixth last year overall. And which my contention is, don't lose to Purdue and then don't lose to Iowa.
True.
Humiliate and not just lose, get humiliated.
Right, you're absolutely right. He did. He did try and pat himself on the back a little bit along those lines.
What a shock!
By saying that, look, we are championship ready in football in the Big Ten. Yeah, we've kind of just missed out on this 14 playoff. He said, take it for what it's worth. He said, look, if we were eight teams, I'm very confident we would have had eight or nine teams make it into the playoffs. We're right there, which is all factual, but I mean, we're not. That's not how we do it. It's four right now.
It will be eight soon, but it certainly wouldn't be. You know, Ohio State would have made it. You know, if it was expanded like it should be, but he's upset that Georgia finished ahead of him. Well, Georgia should have finished ahead of him.
Right, right. I got no problems with that. No problems whatsoever.
No.
So,
and if Georgia played Ohio State in a BC in a big playoff game, I think Georgia would win.
I think they would have. I do. That's funny you said that because who was it? There was a Clemson offensive lineman yesterday during ACC media days.
Oh, Feinbaum got all over him for that.
Well, yeah, he said they played Notre Dame and they played Alabama, and they said that Notre Dame was the best team they played, not Alabama. But didn't they beat Notre Dame like 30-3?
Yeah, they would have clobbered. Bama would have clobbered Notre Dame if they played them. Yeah, it was Dylan Moses. Yeah. Alabama linebacker Dylan Moses still thinks the Crimson Tide are the better team. But
doesn't it feel like he's just taking a shot at Clemson or at Alabama just because?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not factual, right?
I don't know where, Peter Burns, during McElroy talking about this morning. I totally agree with him. I don't know. Attitude is coming from some people out there. It's wishful thinking that think Alabama, because they lost the way they lost last year to Clemson, is suddenly now vulnerable. Look at who they have.
Alabama's vulnerable?
Oh, yeah. They're dying. That's what McElroy goes, when did Alabama die? You know, because did I miss something? Would I have been out?
I just read another piece today. I think it was on ESPN.com, but I'm not sure. that said that Alabama's best is still better than Clemson's best. They're still dominating. Mm-hmm. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah. But there are those out there because the way that, you know, we keep hearing Alabama, what's his name say? Alabama doesn't know how to lose. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, just because they did last year. They didn't play a good game. The quarterback didn't play particularly well. But
Wings Up says Georgia would have been clobbered the Buckeyes. I think
I don't know about clobbered, but I don't know about clobbered, but I think they would have won.
Yeah. Kentucky Tim said he was 6'5", 185 going into college. Couldn't put on any weight in high school. Got to his freshman season, put on 25 pounds.
Next to Mom's Kitchen on campus. Nice.
Yeah.
941 David Cutliffe is as due. Coaches both Mannings and Jones. Oh, no. I know he coached Jones. And, you know, the fact that Giants said Gettleman took him at 6 instead of, 17.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm not saying Cutliffe is a good coach. I'm not saying he's not. But it's an odd choice with the other choices he had. You're talking about SEC schools and then Duke.
Yeah.
Hmm. No.
Later on, Pete Shepard, I found a little nugget. Jim Harbaugh has taken a shot at Urban Meyer.
I was gonna say, yes.
We'll get to that. I mean, then we'll dissect that from every possible way. What do you say, Rick, are we in a position to listen to any of the coaches a little bit? Like, what's your situation in there? I know we threw a lot at you when you got in here today.
Yeah, well, I was recording your Indiana boy, and then the power went out, but so I haven't really had a chance to edit any of the stuff. I mean, I can't really edit it while I'm recording. So.
All right, I got you. All right, I tell you what, let's take a break.
I can do it during the break.
I think we should listen to Scott Frost and Mike D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni from the Rockets.
I'll do that a thousand times.
Yeah, Mark D'Antonio. Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's
from Michigan State.
Let's do that when we come back. We can take a listen to some of these Big Ten media days. Your phone calls while we talk college football. We'll keep you an eye on the British Open as well. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776 is the number. We are just warming up here on a Thursday, trying to dodge the lightning bolts. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PChef326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN.
Still my favorite Jovi song of all time. This was their first hit, Runaway. Oh, what a great tune!
Which was a prelude to Slippery When Wet, a very successful album.
Oh, this. Remember when the song came out? I saw them play in front of about, I don't know, 1,500 people. And like 4 weeks later, they were selling out stadiums.
I saw the stadium. I've seen them in concert, I think twice, at least once. Big stadium.
I have not seen them in the big.
Actually, this song was not on Slippery When Wet.
Right, no, that's what I said.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You guys
are
listening to me today. I know. I said a prelude to Slippery When Wet.
Oh, prelude, okay.
I agree with you.
Sorry. I'm going to shut up now.
No, Rick.
It's been kind of a hectic few
minutes. I
got to
tell people behind the scenes here. All right, so we've been hit by lightning.
I think we're in a vortex. We're somewhere.
Something weird's going on. I don't know what it is.
So everybody's like, Rick, you're off the air. Okay, he's got to go find it. We can get us back on the air. He's trying to cut up Big Ten coaches on the media
Star day. Trek, Nexus, the Generation. You know, then we go, the Enterprise goes through the Nexus, and you go back, and you can go any place you want in time. That's what Rick thinks. Rick wants to do right now.
And then I hit when you guys got blasted, I hit the air monitor because I was trying to monitor the air, not in the studio pre-delay.
Right, right.
So I look up, I go, everything stopped. I go, why am I not hearing anything? It's like, oh, because I'm listening in delay. Sorry, man.
That's all right. I'd like to give our listeners a peek behind the curtain.
My equilibrium's all off today.
It's all right.
That's all right.
Let's just take a breather. I got some other things I want to talk about.
Real quick.
We'll listen to some Big Ten coaches later on next hour. And I want to give a shout out to Life Goals.
Yeah.
He says, it's my birthday today. It's pouring rain. I'm working a 14-hour double shift. And the place that I just ordered delivery from for lunch ruined my order. Thankfully, y'all are working right today. Thank you, Life Goals.
And I also want to give a big shout-out to our great friend Sheila down the hall. That's Sunny. It's her birthday today as well. She's off the air now. But
she's 29?
29 again.
Again?
Yeah.
It's amazing
second year in a row, 29.
Happens.
So, all right. And there was so much sugar in that studio.
Really?
She was bouncing off the walls. But she's good. Very calm. You know, Sheila's very calm.
She's going to transition from sugar to other things later.
You know, here comes tonight I celebrate my love with you. You know, that kind of. Wow. No, she's terrific. But it's her birthday. Happy birthday to our friend down the hall,
Happy
Sheila.
Happy birthday, no doubt. Also, you are going to be out and about on Saturday. You want to tell the people?
Oh, yeah. We're going to. I'll be at the Babcock Ranch out in Punta Gorda, and I cannot wait. First of all, it's a open viewing party. Streaming the tournament on the huge screen. It's over 30 feet in the middle of Founders Square. Again, this is at 42850 Crescent Loop. I'm going to have four tickets to the Barber B. Mann show for Brian Regan to give away as well. Chuck the Hit Man Trick Golf Shot performs at 11 a.m. until noon. You got to come down. If you've never seen him, it's unbelievable. Food truck scheduled to be there. Gator John's Barbecue, a Ma Petite Creperie, Red Rock Cravings, and Squeezer's Lemonade. Snag Golf. Too Tall Tory is going to be there for the kids.
How tall is Too Tall?
Well, you can go to waytootalltory.com. Say that three times fast and find out. TaylorMade Golf, rep going to be on site. And for Babcock National, you got pre-construction savings plus summer value day sale offering, exclusive upgrades and discounts on home sites and closing costs, 18 different home designs, pricing from the upper 100s. And Babcock National Golf, Tennis, and Fitness Pros are going to be on site to speak to the community, amenities, and lifestyles. And for Babcock National, it's going to be the first gated lifestyle community in Babcock Ranch. It'll feature 18-hole golf course, resort-style pool with tiki bar, sport club with state-of-the-art fitness center and full-service spa, tennis pro shop, pickleball, bocce ball, full clubhouse with formal and casual dining. It's exactly like, it's a Lennar company, exactly like where I live at Binney International. It's phenomenal. The only thing that this place has that we don't have is pickleball and bocce ball.
I've never played pickleball, and people play it all over the place here in Florida. Like, every community has to have pickleball.
Yeah, it's if I played now, I would hurt myself. I think I would dislocate my knees.
Fact.
It's like a combination. It's like a mini tennis. And paddleball kind of thing.
Is it a harder ball?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Like, okay. But not a super hard. But it's fun. I mean, it's
like if I hit it at you,
the national tournament
would it hurt?
Is in Naples? Is it not? Is it the national? Yeah, the national tournament every year is in Naples.
Yeah.
All right. Bocce ball, I'm fine at.
All right. Oh, hey, Rick.
But I'll be down there.
I'm going to make your life.
10 to noon, I'll be down there.
I'm going to make
Saturday.
Your life more confusing. We got to record Ryan Day to play.
Oh, player. Yeah.
We need to buy Rick a beer.
Otherwise, if we don't record Ryan Day, every freaking Ohio State fan lives down here, and I know who you are, and I love your passion. There's a lot of you, maybe more than any other college.
Yeah.
Fan base. I'll be honest with you. I'm stunned by it.
Yeah.
But there are tons of Ohio State fans down here. So, yes, we're recording Ryan Day right now. We can't take it live like we could off ESPN because BTN is part of Fox Sports, and we can't do that.
Yep.
We have to wait till afterwards.
All right. Fisherman Nat. Guys, I work a lot in the area. I've noticed while sitting in my truck listening to y'all, lightning is striking consistently over your studio, and then I hear y'all talk about it 20 seconds later. The Southwest Florida Life Gentleman, LOL. But I was thinking, isn't your radio tower like a huge lightning rod?
Well, I think any radio tower / cell phone tower / any tower is a lightning rod. You are correct.
And we have one. It's probably 30 feet from us right now outside the wall.
Reaches into the heavens.
And reaches into the sky. You can see it everywhere when you drive through Estero. And, yes, it is. But it is designed to be able to take most hits. Everything's grounded very well. And it may knock us off briefly from time to time.
Yeah,
it's part of it. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I think we got our bearings straight. Let's talk a little NFL football real quick. And this is something you alluded to yesterday. The NFL Players Association and the NFL, they were supposed to have 3 days of meetings here in July. They were like, kumbaya.
I think they had 3 hours worth of meetings.
We're gonna get this done before the season even starts so we can start talking about the collective bargaining agreement. It like you said, it was abbreviated. It lasted one day, and that's it. And they said, hey, everything's fine. We're all getting along. Mike Florio had an interesting piece on Pro Football Talk today that says, that's not normal. If things were moving swimmingly, they would be meeting for 3 days and knocking out some of these big, heavy issues.
I totally agree. I'm not buying. I think it's just the opposite. I don't think things are going well at all.
Yes.
I agree with Mike.
You and I are in agreement that the year after next, there will be a work stoppage. Chris thinks there's no way there'll be a work stoppage, but he hasn't been through one of these before.
He hasn't.
The youngster.
No, he hasn't. And the only question I have is, how long will it be? If it's, say, it's over a month, will they start, or right away, will they implement replacement players? That type of thing.
Well, I think that's going to be the dirty little secret of the XFL, Pete Shepard. I think that's why the NFL is supportive of the XFL coming back next spring. There will be football-ready players ready to go, and I think that's watch for that to happen.
Well, speaking of watching for some stuff to happen, again, we told you the Denver Broncos opened up their camp yesterday, and we have a casualty already. Todd Davis, their starting linebacker, was carted off the field already today. I don't know what happened yet. Obviously, he got injured, carted off the field. I don't know how serious the injury is, so I don't want to speculate, but I can tell you that. I know we have some Bronco fans down here.
Yeah.
But you lost one of your linebackers today in the second day of camp.
That's not good. Well, I mean, it happens. It does.
It does.
That's sad. And there was, I've read some stories recently. Denver Bronco fan. Now, how many years ago was Super Bowl 50? Was that?
Three.
3 years?
Well, last year was 53, right? Yeah.
No, Super Bowl 50 was the one they won with Peyton Manning. So we're on 53 now, so that was 3 years ago?
No, it was more than that.
I thought it was more than that.
Yeah, it was.
We're up to 56 now, right? What Super Bowl are we on now?
I don't know.
I lose track. It's not that important to my point. People are now getting a little antsy in Denver with John Elway and his ability to lead the team because all their hope is put on Joe Flacco this year.
Yep.
And people are quick to point out, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Broncos have only had one winning season when a guy by the name of Peyton Manning was not on the roster. And so people are really starting to question whether John Elway has the ability to run a football franchise.
And it's also a valid point about his he hasn't really picked the greatest quarterbacks, although I do commend him for Drew Lock. And I do think Drew Lock will be the starting quarterback on that team before it's all said and done. Sometime at the midseason point, I really believe that.
Yeah,
I think he's. I told you, I think him and Stidham are going to meet with my two sleeper guys, and I think Locke is going to get a chance sooner rather than later. Not because Flacco's going to stink up the joints. I just think if he gets dinged up or things don't go particularly well, through the first half of the season, I think you're going to see a lot of Drew Locke, and I'm looking forward to. This is why the only reason why I like exhibition season is because of guys like Drew Locke. You're going to see a lot of them. So.
All right. Well,
I'm looking forward to it.
Does anybody else start? I mean, the Denver Broncos are out there.
Everybody starts
already.
Like next to them Monday.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, most people.
Why do they get to go so early? They're not in the.
I don't know.
Are they in the Hall of Fame? Who's in the Hall of Fame game? I got to clear my head here because that's in 14 days.
That is.
Usually they let the Hall of Fame.
Isn't it the Bears? No, the Bears in Green Bay is. That's
the Thursday night.
That's like 48 days away.
Hold on. I want to know this actually. We got. The Hall of Fame game is 2 weeks from today, for crying out loud. Hey. Can you believe that? Let's see. Hall of Fame game. Please, we ask that you please bear with us. Hall of Fame game is going to be the Denver Broncos and the Atlanta Falcons. That's why Denver's starting so early. So
yeah, that's right.
I mean, the Falcons got to be starting here today or tomorrow, too, I'd imagine. So that's what makes sense. All right. So now I got that clear. So let me run it down for you.
Which is why we see Drew Lock a lot in that game.
He probably will.
Tooth and Nights says, tell Craig that his community has pickleball courts within the tennis courts. Okay. I mean, yeah, but you...
No, first of all, I do. But now what? Did somebody knows where I live?
Apparently.
Do I have a stalker situation going on here?
Apparently.
Yeah, that's a little unnerving. All right, so we got 14 days until the Hall of Fame game. 37 days till Florida takes on Miami. 44 days to the rest of the college football opening weekend, and 49 days to the NFL opening night on September 5th. It's here. You can feel it. I'm very excited.
Absolutely.
Did you see Joe Theismann talked about Alex Smith? Obviously, Joe Theismann knows a thing or two about devastating, crushing leg breaking. Alex Smith just had a brace taken off his leg, and Joe Theismann says, yeah, there's no way he's playing this year, which we knew, but... he said, man, he came very, very, very close to losing his leg. And you can have all the money in the world, but you go losing a leg, and you got to ask yourself if it's worth it. But
yeah.
And now, look, Alex Smith says he wants to play again. Here's the deal. Alex Smith ain't ever playing football again, okay? He's had two massive contracts, got a beautiful family, although maybe he has to say I'm coming back so that he's still on the roster and still getting paid. That happens a lot. When guys know they're done, you got to make the team cut you, or whatever the case may be. You get an extra $15 million or so that year, that way. So I think that's all that's going on. Mm-hmm. I admire him by saying, hey, there's a goal to get back and playing, but that dude's never playing again.
Yeah, I wish him well. I hope stranger things have happened. Let's put it this way. It's a long shot at best, right? It's a long shot at best.
You know, a couple things we haven't mentioned busy this week regarding the NFL. Jim Caldwell, who was on the Falcons staff, he took a medical leave for this whole season. Mm-hmm. Nobody said what it is, but he's got to go take care of himself. Kendrick Norton is getting out of the hospital today. That's the player that lost his arm in the auto accident. And, for you Bucks fans, I saw the other day that Clyde Christensen, the quarterback's coach, said Jameis is improved a ton this season. I don't know what that means. I'm not
Byron Leftwich is the OC. Yeah, Christensen.
Christensen's quarterback coach.
He's quarterback's coach, but I really think it's Byron Leftwich that's the guy that's
could be.
That's going to hopefully take Jameis under straighten him out, not take him under his wing. It's too late in his career for taking under his wing. He's just going to get his head screwed on straight, make the right decisions here.
No doubt. All right, so that's everything that's going on in the NFL. Coming up, we're going to run down. What do you have for us later on? Is it the how the Power Fives did against
Power
top 25
Five
opponents?
Conference records last 3 years versus the final AP top 25? I think you will be stunned by some of the numbers.
All right, I want to get into that.
We've also got at some point I wanted to get into a cool little thing. First jobs ever for all in the NFL for all 32 NFL head coaches.
Yeah.
Pretty cool segment.
Yeah,
cool list.
Some paid more dues than others, but most of them did pay their dues. There's no doubt about that. All right, when we come back, we'll do that. Also, Jim Harbaugh ripping Urban Meyer. We'll tell you what that is all about. Shouldn't it be the other way around? I'm confused. We'll hear from some coaches around the Big Ten, and I'll have to check in with Rick, who's feverishly working. Rick, are we going to be able to do Sound Street when we come back?
We're good to go.
All right, we got the green light. We're back on. All right, that's coming up next. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, here we go. I'm ready. Rick, are you ready? It's been a day.
It's a lot of boom booming outdoors.
I stuck my head out the door during the break.
You were scared.
As soon as I stuck my head out, a lightning bolt came crashing down and sent me back inside.
And you didn't even say Shazam.
Oh, I didn't have time to. Might have wet my pants. Clemson's Dabo Sweeney yesterday, ACC Media Day, saying, hey, it's no difference going into a season as the defending national champ.
It really isn't, because we don't carry anything over. If we have a bad season, lose the last game, or we win the national championship, we don't carry anything over. We start over, and I mean really, truly, in every sense of the word, we start over and reset, refocus, and reinstall the program and the core values, and you got to pay the price all over again. It's one of the things we always say, greatness never goes on sale. You know, you got to pay full price every year, and you got to prove it.
All right.
You know, we come back after the top. Interesting this morning with the guys on the SEC Network and comparing Dabo and Nick. And I think you'll find it fascinating, their take on it. May not be what you think.
All right. Speaking of Nick Saban, Tua Tagovailoa was asked during SEC Media Days what it's like to play for Coach Nick.
Coach Saban is someone who's really hard on you. I mean, not too many people like that, you know. But I think you need someone like that in pretty much every organization to set the standard straight, set everyone straight, get everything the way it needs to be rolled. And I think the biggest thing that, I mean, I could learn from Coach Saban is, I guess, the discipline, because you see how much discipline he has with everything.
And yet, it's ironic, Nick Saban said the discipline was what was missing at the end of the year last year. Here's some of that.
We didn't do the things that we feel are very important to the program very well toward the end of the season last year. Now, I don't think we played with the kind of discipline that we want to play with as an organization and as a team. I don't think we had, we didn't have the a culture of accountability, with our team at the end of the season. I think putting the team first is always really, really important, and these are the kind of things that I think we need to improve on if we're going to be able to improve as a team and continue to develop and have success.
All right, so we heard there.
But later on is where the real story happened. A few minutes after that, when he sat down with Finney and company, and he clearly said it was coaching and threw his coaches under the bus.
Now, we actually got a minute or two here, which it's shocking that I'm early. Kind of interesting what you said a moment ago about comparing Dabo to Nick.
It was interesting because they threw a question out yesterday, and I think we aired it. I'm not sure about Nick. And somebody asked him, are you tough to work for?
Yeah.
Not play for, work for.
Right.
And he went on to say, no, I don't know. He's like, you know, people may say that. He said, but then they go on to be head coaches elsewhere. And then when they're successful, they say, well, they did it because they did the Alabama way or they did it my way.
Right.
Whatever. Which partly true. But then after that, it was interesting that Peter Burns and Doering and McElroy were sitting there talking about the culture at Clemson and why so many coordinators don't leave there because they love him.
It's a good old
time.
They
love him, and they love the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Don't know. That's coming over the air. Whatever that is. Yeah. And they love Dabo Sweeney. And McElroy said, I've been in there. He said, it's unbelievable. When you walk in, he said, it's a different type of feeling than it is at Alabama. It's a very comfortable feeling.
What are we doinking over there? With the
something's coming over the air.
No, but it's something I alluded to this yesterday because we were talking about these kids. Do these kids have fun? And I said, you know what? Nick Saban, it looks like it's all business all the time, but it looks like it might be fun to play for Dabo, and that goes for the coaching staffs as
well. True, but I mean, it's not like Dabo I don't think Dabo lacks discipline. I don't think he lacks being tough on his players.
No,
he goes about it a very different way. They're both very successful, and it's two different ways of doing it. But clearly, I just thought it was fascinating that the SEC guys are praising Dabo Sweeney and praising the atmosphere at Clemson when you walk in there, what it's like.
Because they're tired of getting their heads bit off every time they ask Nick a question. they got to get their defenses up when they ask him a question. Maybe that's it.
Yeah,
it's a little cranky.
Somewhat.
Who would you rather play for? Who would you rather coach with? Dabo or Saban?
I think unless you experience, it's easy to say. I think people have the same, with Popovich and Belichick. I think fall into that category as well.
I think you're right.
I think, is Bill, like, ridiculously tough on his coaches like Saban is with his? I don't think so. I think he has a lot of respect for his coaches, which Son is now one of them, by the way, and doing a pretty good job. It's back for
nepotism.
No, but yeah, somewhat. But the kid worked hard. That kid's been around him since he was like 9. Yeah. Ridiculous, taking notes with a pad and pencil, different things. But you go all the coordinators and everything else. It's not like they were. I think he showed them a lot of respect.
Yeah.
You didn't hear. I mean, once in a while, you might hear something that nobody has. We're not having fun here. Come on. In the NFL, it's a job.
It's not for fun.
No.
Breaking news. The Big Ten does have a studio set at the hotel. I don't know why they didn't start their broadcast with that an hour ago. They
Howard Griffith is there now, one of the all-time greats at Illinois. But, I
just listening to all this stuff, they keep popping off and saying we're having technical difficulties over and over again. So
at
the Big Ten Network on the stuff we have recorded. So that may have been part of the problem.
That's exactly what happened. They had to call an audible and go back to the studio with three other guys. Now they got
what
they were supposed to do.
But this should have been set up early in the morning. I don't understand how the Big Ten Media Day people did not set up this little studio that the SEC people had right in Alabama.
This
Hoover.
Was set up.
I think they
working.
Did. I think that they were having technical difficulties location.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
okay.
They say that repeatedly during the broadcast, we're having technical difficulties.
I mean, that shouldn't happen at that point.
No.
At a network like that. I mean, unless it's really, really, really bad weather.
It's a rainy day in Chicago.
It is bad weather. In fact, when we get the Scott Frost interview, the first thing he does is apologize for being late because their plane was delayed coming in.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
And makes a funny joke about selling curtain rings at the airport.
All right.
John Candy reference. John plane, transit, automobile.
Absolutely. I love it. All right, we're going to hear from some of these coaches. Scott Frost, Mark D'Antonio, Tom Allen, Ryan Day. They've all been speaking. Rick has been working.
Who's Tom Allen?
Some IU coach. Oh,
just for that, he's
going.
I've heard
of those other guys.
Just for that, he's going first. Sheeman and Shepherd.
No, he's not.
99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.